I no longer have to wait. I mashed the red button. Praise God. It's such a blessing. New things are happening in my heart and in my mind. Isn't that a good thing?
Amen.
It is a good thing. And as you know, a couple years ago, I taught a thing about the kingdom of God. Well, as we've been going through Sunday school, thank you, Tom, you messed up my kingdom. We're going to go back through the kingdom of God in a little bit different focus than what we have before. We talked about the kingdom of God in times past as a structure coming down or a mindset coming down. I don't think that that's what the scripture actually means about the kingdom of God. And when Jesus told his people to go out and teach, what did he tell them to teach? Heal people? No, he didn't teach them how to heal people. He didn't say, go tell people how to heal. He didn't do that. How about raising the dead? No, he didn't say, go preach about raising the dead. What did he tell them to teach about? The kingdom. Teach them the kingdom of God. Let me ask you, can you teach the kingdom of God to somebody? As an individual, can you personally take the scripture about what the kingdom of God is through what Jesus said it was and go and teach it? And the second thing that I was thinking about in this, who do you teach it to? Should you go to the lost and teach the kingdom of God? Or do you go to the church and teach them the kingdom of God? That first point's what we're going to work on today. Who do you teach the kingdom to? And why? And then over the next, I haven't made the blackboard up for it because this just came to me late. But I'm going to, you know how we did, how you are the church, you know, the building of Christ and all that. And I had that blackboard up for, 62 weeks or something like that as we went through that. I think that the kingdom of God may not be that, I didn't plan it that way the last time. I'm not going to plan it this way this time. But we're going to go through the kingdom of God bit by bit, piece by piece, that we will be able to understand it in such a way that we can proclaim the acceptable day of the kingdom in our minds well enough that we can explain it to folks who say they know, but maybe not. Because I was taught the kingdom of God incorrectly, right? And so if I was taught incorrectly and my vision of it was incorrectly, I'm not that I'm a gambling man, but I'm willing to bet that most people who call themselves Christian truly don't understand the biblical reality of the kingdom of God, what it is, and how to apply it today. And so by the grace of God, we're going to try to get into some of that. But let's go to the Lord first in prayer. Father, we are grateful, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity that we have to come together to learn of your ways, your will, your righteousness. And Lord, as we embark on this teaching that's coming up, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help me to decrease, that your word would increase, Lord. Let these thoughts not be my thoughts, but allow us to follow the scripture through the direction of the Holy Spirit, that your name, your righteousness, your holiness would be expounded on in such a way it can change our lives and lead others to a better relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for those things, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first teaching that Jesus began with after the temptation. So you know that Jesus met John in the wilderness, and John wanted to baptize him, and Jesus said, you ought to be baptizing me, I ought not be baptizing you. But Jesus said that all things would be fulfilled, let's do it this way. So Jesus baptized, and then you remember the Spirit and the voice of God and the Son all were there in that one spot. Right, we understand that. And then directly after that, Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. After that was over, he comes out of the wilderness. And this is where we're at. And this is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. As Jesus begins to speak here, he says, "The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sit in the regions of the shadow of death, light has sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach,
and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So the first teachings that Jesus did after his baptism, after the temptation of Satan, after he made his stand and say, I'm going to follow God no matter what the world says, no matter of the kingdoms of the world, I'm going to follow God. The first thing he comes out of the wilderness teaching is to repent, acknowledge your sin, acknowledge God's holiness, acknowledge that you need to turn from who you are to start walking in the right direction of the Father, and that the kingdom of God was at hand. That started blowing my mind to itty bitty bits this week. That the kingdom of God is at hand 2,000 years ago. Now, if you read some of the other translations, which I would beg you not to do, just stick with the King James. The other translations use a different word there, which I'm not even going to honor that, the mistranslation of the translated word of God. We need to repent. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's close. Like I can reach out and I can grab it. I can get a hold of the kingdom of God. It's close to you. It's near to you. It's not something that's high in the sky, a million billion miles away. That it's something that God puts very near to the heart of every individual that wants it. You can have it. The kingdom of God, you can have. It's close to you. The kingdom of God, the teaching of the kingdom of God, I'll put it that way, the teaching of the kingdom of God is one of the most important things to understand, so that as we understand it, as we come to the knowledge of the kingdom of God, we will be able to tell this generation of a real hope and a real faith of the things that are to come and that are actually at hand right now. The kingdom of God is something so tangible that you can grab a hold of it with your mind, with your heart. After Jesus comes out and he's teaching the kingdom of God is at hand, repent, right? Come to that spot. Yes?
It says heaven. The kingdom of heaven.
Okay. Kingdom of heaven. All right, I will get into that here in just a minute. The kingdom of God, since you brought that up, the kingdom of God is how many kingdoms?
One.
Kingdom of heaven is how many kingdoms?
One.
Kingdom of Christ is how many kingdoms?
One.
And they are what?
Three.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they are one. It is one kingdom. So you're not having a separate kingdom of heaven, a separate kingdom of Christ, and a separate kingdom of God. It is one kingdom. And although I did, you're right, I wrote down the wrong word there, but they are synonymous with one another. There are not three different kingdoms. There is one kingdom that is coming, and this is the kingdom.
But Mark 1:14 says, now after that, John was put in prison, and Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Same kingdom.
Same kingdom, right? Same kingdom. And so that's the beautiful thing about this church. You know, you see something, fix me on it. And if you can't fix me on it, we'll explain it. Amen? And so the explanation of that is that those three identifications of the kingdom are a kingdom. It's not three separate kingdoms. And often in the church, they are taught as three separate ideals of a kingdom. But it's not. It is one kingdom. There's only thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. There is one kingdom that's coming. In fact, that kingdom is already within us. We'll look at that a little bit later as we open up into the scriptures and start digging into it, because we're with that ideal that it's some high in the sky, far, far away, never, never land kind of thing. You don't think that you can really grasp it. But I'm telling you, it's a lot easier than what you think it is. When you look at it for what the kingdom of God truly is, the way that it really sets into your heart, and you start realizing that the kingdom of God is of righteousness, of holiness, of God moving and living and dwelling on the inside of you, that the kingdom of God started when the Lord scooped Adam out of the dust of the ground and he breathed into him and he became a living soul. The kingdom of God was with man. All right, so I finished the sermon. That was the last. So now we'll back up. But you see, it's not something that's so supernatural that you can't grasp at. And it is, it's available for the lost and for the saved. And we'll get into that here in just a moment. It's available, but not everybody gets it. All right. And again, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, when Jesus is sending out the 12, he tells these in verse 5 of chapter 10, these 12, all right, in chapter 11 and 10, it talks about who those 12 are. If you want to go through their names, you can. Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go to rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, now, I found some really fascinating things in this command when Jesus first sent out the 12s. The neat thing he said, don't go to the lost. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans, but go to the house of God. Judgment, or the people of God, people of Israel. Judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. The reason that Jesus wanted to go to the Hebrew people and not to the Samaritans, not to the Gentiles, is because they already had an ideal, an idea of what the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God really was. They had the scriptures that they kept the oracles of God, so they should have known. And so Jesus is saying, something has happened with my people, Israel, my beloved, something happened with them, and they have the kingdom a little bit messed up, guys. They really don't understand what the kingdom is. So instead of going and telling the lost about the kingdom, let's go to the people who ought to know what the kingdom's like, and let's repair that spot first, right? Let's get all of the holes fixed in your ship before you put the boat in the water. In fact, if you see your friend or your neighbor in sin, and you go and say, I want to fix your sin. Well, if your brother has a speck in his eye, and you go to complain about that speck, but you got a plank in your eyes, first take the plank out of your face. First get your stuff squared away. So the people, his 12 disciples, went not to Samaria. They didn't go to the way of the Gentiles. They went to the house of Israel. They went to the house of Israel, and they started proclaiming the kingdom of God. The kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of holiness, which is all the same kingdom, okay? And he started teaching them that, hey, Israel, you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Israel, my people, I love you. You're the apple of my eye. I came in the likeness of man, a Hebrew, right? I was born that way. God brought me in, and I'm God, and I came in. God didn't bring Christ in. Christ is God. Right? And God came, he impregnated Mary, she gave birth, and he was a Hebrew. He was an Israelite. All right? And in that understanding of the holiness and the righteousness and the laying out of the structure of the church, the Hebrew church and the Christian church are the same. What are they? They're the same body. There are those who believe by faith, and there are those who did not believe by faith. You are saved in the very same manner that the Hebrew people were saved in. Remember, the Hebrew people didn't get saved by their sacrifices. They were saved because they believed God, and it was accounted unto them as righteousness. You're saved because you believe God, and it's accounted unto you as righteousness. Salvation didn't change. From the very beginning to the very last person that's ever going to get saved, it's going to be done the same way. We believe in God. We believe in Christ. We believe that there is a kingdom. And actually, I believe, I'm pretty sure over the next ever how long it's going to take, as Jesus told the Pharisees, the kingdom is within you. He told the Pharisees that. The Pharisees that were there and actually poking him and prodding him and saying, when's the kingdom going to come? And Jesus said, listen, cats. Sorry. I said that because I'm a cool dude. Jesus said, listen, the kingdom's within you. And if you can understand that, then you can have the kingdom. Right. Right. It's within you. It's something that's tangible right now. It's not something that's 1,000 years down the road, or 2,000 or 6,000 years down the road, something that's going to come and change, although
when that comes, when the kingdom does come on earth, everything's going to change. But even at the time of Jesus was talking to the Pharisees who didn't believe him as God, he said that the kingdom, you Pharisaical people, the kingdom's within you. It's tangible. It's really, really close.
Do you know that the kingdom is within you? That the kingdom is more than just some bride or thing coming out of heaven adorned as a bride. The kingdom is a mindset of holiness. A kingdom is a mindset of righteousness. The kingdom is an obedience. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how does God's will become done on earth? It's when the people who profess Jesus Christ with their mouth do the things the Bible says. We love one another. Well, first we love God with all our heart, all our strength, all our mind, with everything that's in us, we love him. And then I love you guys and you got to love me back. Right? That's where it begins. So in this statement that Jesus made, first we must go and confess to the believers, not necessarily the lost. Jesus wanted to go to the house of Israel first. He didn't want to go to the Gentiles. He didn't want to go to Samaria. He didn't want to go anywhere that they didn't already have a knowledge of the Most High God and a worship of the one true God, the God who created all things. He said, let's start there. Let's start there with those who say that they know God, the ones who say that they have a relationship with me. Let's go there and let's start explaining the kingdom of God. And we'll get into the explanation of the kingdom of God as we go through this teaching. And so that's what he said first. Go to the lost sheep. Praise God. Yeah. Everyone say ba. Ba. Say it like you mean it. Go ahead. Ba. Right? You know that you're sheep? You're part of God's fold. And God said, let's explain the kingdom to my sheep first, the Hebrew sheep and the Gentile sheep. Gentile's coming later, but right now, let's just, since we are in the New Testament, the Gentile church age, or whatever you want. I hate calling it that because of you.
I used to call it that with great comfort, you know, the age of the Gentile. Well, no, come on. God is moving since the Hebrew people rejected Christ at his time of his coming. It opened up a new opportunity for the Gentiles to be grafted into the same vine that the Hebrews are grafted into. No difference here. So God's saying, what I want to do is I want to go to the people who are grafted into me, right? And I want them to know what and who and how the kingdom is. Right? And so remember, this is just the beginning of the teaching here that we're getting into this kingdom. This is the fundamental foundation of the teaching of the kingdom that we're getting to. So he said, first go to lost sheep. So first we need to go to the church, right? As we catch an understanding of what the kingdom is, let others of the body of Christ know first. Go to the lost sheep. That's what we just said. Before you go to the lost hunting, all right, let us go and repair the false teachings that are within the church. All right? Let us go against dispensationalism. All right? Let us go not against humans, the people, not the sheep of God's pasture, but the false teachers that have led the sheep down a different gospel, which is not the gospel, leading them to a different kingdom, which is not the kingdom of God or heaven or Christ, leading them back to a right understanding of who God is, why God is, and how he loves you, even the lost. But let's do it first in the church. Let's get... See, I can't help you until I get squared away. I can't talk about the speck that's in your eye if there's a plank in front of mine. I can't complain about your grass growing tall if I haven't mowed mine. I can't really explain the kingdom to you until I get a full grasp of what the kingdom is. In the body of Christ, we need to come back to these fundamental teachings the proper doctrine. We're going to start talking about doctrine here in just a minute. But the doctrine of the apostles has been perverted through the teachings of men and the doctrines of demons. All right? In America, for well over 100 years, we've raised up generation after generation, people group after people group, to a false understanding of the true written word of God. We've watered it down, we've perverted it, we've taken it out of context, and we've taught the teachings of men as holy scripture. It's time we stop. It's time we stop and get back to the very basics of the understanding of the gospel, the understanding of the true kingdom that is in us. So we must go first to those. And as you go, preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so now I'm going to ask you, like I ask myself, ask yourself, can you explain the kingdom to a misled and falsely taught brother, some of the lost sheep of his fold? Because remember, they have already been taught, for their grandma was taught this, their great-grandma was taught this, their granddad was taught this, their dad was taught this, and they've been taught about some high-in-the-sky, far-off kingdom that's not tangible yet. Now, how do you take something that has been taught over decades, right, the wrong way, to get it back to the right way? Because that's what Jesus just told his disciples to do. That's what he just told the 12. All right? And I don't want you to go to the lost sheep. I don't want you to go, well, you said the lost sheep of Israel. But I don't want you to go to the unsaved first. What I want you to do is go to those who should know and fix the bad doctrine. You know what happens? Since we've done that here a little bit, you make people who really believe what they believe is real, and they find out that the word of God doesn't quite match up with what Jeremiah or Spurgeon or you name the guy, right? Praise God, I can't think of those guys' names. Glory to God, I think that's a blessing. Because I'm not supposed to be shooting holes in their boat. I'm supposed to be repairing the holes in ours. Right? I can't help what they're going to do. We need to understand who God is, what the kingdom is, well enough in our ship that we're no longer taking on false doctrine anymore. That we're not listening to the ways of man, the teachings of man, and the doctrines of demons any longer. See, many in the church, they confess Christ today, but they're ignorant of the kingdom. So, how do you do it? All right, that's where I got it. That's where I came to this conundrum in my mind. How do you do it? How do you teach somebody? How do you unlearn somebody to get learned? To get learned? To get taught? Anyhow, as you notice, I need somebody to teach me English, right? Go ahead, my brother.
You can't have multiple beliefs because there's only one marriage arrangement.
Amen.
Promise.
Yeah.
The Bible does solidify that. So if you can show them that, then you can show them that it's not okay to believe in multiple beliefs. Because the bride needs to be chaste.
Right. So what you're saying is extremely true. That is doctrinally sound. All right. But trying to get somebody out of what they have set their life into something. So you can raise a child that green is really red, right? And you teach them that when they see a green thing, you call it red, and everybody around them calls it red, but it's really green, but they were taught that it was red. It's going to take a long time to get them to understand that green is not red, and red is not green. They're different, right? But you were taught that that was green, but no, it's really red. But I was taught it was green. But no, the truth is, it's not green. It's really red. So coming to them that have been taught that the kingdom is something that is not obtainable at this time, at this moment, in this very breath, that it's something that's coming 100,000 years down the road, that you can't quite grasp it, and you think of it as a dimensional, or as a structure, a dimensional place, right? It's not like the dimensions, but like a Lego house. Right, they think the kingdom of God is like a Lego house. It's all put together, and we're all Legos, and we come together, and we all snap just perfectly. Right, that's what we think of, and it's going to come down. The measurements are 15 square. What is that? 1,500 square. Yeah, and cubicle and all that kind of stuff. And so, although that is scripture and it's true, but we have this idea that we're going to see this square. Cube dropping out of heaven, right? But it's, Jesus said the kingdom is in you. It's not really just a cube falling out of the sky that is actually in you right now. All right, now, I was always taught that the rapture is going to happen 1,000 years later after that, the cube's going to fall out of the sky. Right? And then everything's going to be heaven on earth. I think when we really look into this, we're going to find... Who here was taught that? Was it just me?
Yeah.
All right. A lot of folks of us were taught that way. Okay. I think as we examine the scripture, we're going to find out that the kingdom of God is way different than what we've been taught. Than what we've come to the understanding. And now, when we come to this right understanding of what the kingdom of God is, then it's going to be your responsibility to go to your Christian friends, your family, your loved ones, and stir the nest up. Okay? And that's the hard part, you know, because you're going to go to your grandma, your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters, all across America, right, that think they understand that it's this way, but it's actually a spiritual thing more than it is a physical thing. And when you start teaching that to somebody, it's going to make them hate you for a little while. All right? Go ahead, Lance.
Bruce, what about the fear of God? Because that's the beginning of wisdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have to see the importance of repentance. And then God is the one that does the work anyway.
Right. Amen.
Without that, you don't have that deep connection.
Right. You're absolutely right, Lance. They first got to know that God is God and they are not. You know, that's the first thing that we got to understand is we don't make God in our image. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians make God in there. They'd say, my God doesn't do this. Well, the God of the Bible did that, so your God must not be that God. Go ahead, Lance.
One thing that helped me with the fear of God was the depth of his mercy that he's already shown. Once I understood that a little bit deeper, then I got a better understanding of the fear of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and following, and he said, time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned into fables. All right? We're there. All right? We're there right now. When you start teaching good, true, sound doctrine, the doctrine of the apostles, you start teaching the doctrine straight out of God's word, you start teaching the truth out of his love, his grace, his mercy, his judgment, right? Because I would almost guarantee you the modern Christian today doesn't believe that they'll be judged by Jesus, that they will not be judged. They're going to be judged because of his mercy and grace, but they won't be judged if they call themselves a Christian and really aren't a Christian. Because they made the prayer and they said the words, right? So they slid into home. So they continue living in sin that grace may abound. Now, Paul said something about that. God forbid. that we should live in sin. But false doctrine says, you said the prayer, you made the confession, you believed in your heart, so now no matter what you do, you're in the kingdom, or the kingdom is in you. I dare say that that's not a true teaching. Because it's not what you say that makes a difference. It's the conversion of the heart from unrighteousness, from darkness, to righteousness, to light. That the light came into the world because the deeds, they loved the darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, right? Most of the folks who call themselves Christian today love the darkness more than they do the light. Why? Because their deeds are actually evil. So when this kingdom comes, they won't be lifted up through it. They will be crushed by it. This kingdom is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. In fact, it's already here. But unfortunately, we, as it says in 2 Timothy 4 and 3 and 4, it says, for the time will come, all right, when they, and he's talking about the believers, when the church people, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul is writing to Timothy about the church folks. He's not writing to Timothy about the lost people. In fact, the whole word of God really is not for the lost. The word of God is for the saved. And if you're lost, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't understand this. That's what it tells us in 1 Corinthians. You can't understand it. But if you're saved, if you're illuminated, if the lights have come on because the Father has called your name and called you out of darkness into light, then all of a sudden this scripture, this Bible becomes alive to you. It starts moving in you, changing you, renewing your heart and your mind to the holiness of God and showing you the corruption that lives within you that must die. Amen? It must die not by your strength, but through the power of God, that the kingdom of God might be in you, appearing in you, living in you, thriving in you, and growing in you. That's a pretty wild thought. You know, that it's there, it's available, it's in you, right? And there's this today is, well, actually, I need to finish that. Heaping to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, from truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So the church, when they stop listening to the truth, they won't endure sound doctrine anymore. Why? Because Jesus is my friend, and all I got to do to worship God is lift up my hands, turn on the strobe light, paint my ceilings black, get a 24-piece rock and roll band that sounds something like Jimi Hendrix, and start worship. That's worship. Folks, worship is not that. I mean, we worship in song. There's nothing wrong with worshiping in song, but worship with your life. Worship with every fiber of your body. Worship with the kingdom that lives within you. Worship in such a way that people can see your good works and worship your God, which is in heaven. Right? Because they will watch what you do more than what you say. Something that Timothy is also taught in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We probably already know this. Speaking of coming to doctrine, let me back up a little bit here. Our day looks just like that. That most of the church is not listening to sound doctrine anymore. Most of the church is listening to fables, heaping to themselves teachers that talk fables, right? That would rather preach out of the Democrat Chronicle than the Word of God. Or you can call that the NIV. It's almost the same thing. And if I'm hurting someone's feelings, good.
Sound like me.
Yeah, amen. And so he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture, how much? All right, all of the Bible, all of scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All right. You must believe that. Now, not every book that's written is scripture. But the book of scripture is all written by the inspiration of God. So you got to make sure you have the right book to start with.
You got to make sure you have the right spirit. Do you know that there's other spirits in this world that come in and tickle your ears, make you feel good? Don't worry, God's all love. He's your friend. God's your friend. Well, wait a second. Jesus did say, you are my friend, but he put an if to that. If you do what?
Obey.
Obey. If you follow my commandments, you want to be my friend, you better follow my commandments. So those folks who said they're a friend of Jesus, they don't follow his commandments, guess what they are? Starts with L. Huh?
Liars.
No, say it like you mean it.
Liars.
They're liars. You know, I know that's unpolite and unpolitically correct nowadays. We can call it like it is. They're believing a lie. They're speaking a lie, thus making them liars. All right? So don't be afraid to say that. But say it in love. Right? Don't say it like you're better than somebody else. You know, they've just been taught a lie, and they believe the lie. They had teachers with itching ears, and they wanted to have their ears tickled, and they wanted to have their emotions puffed up, and they wanted to believe that God wants you to be wealthy. You know, he wants you to have a cattle on a thousand hills. Actually, Scripture doesn't say that. The Scripture says he has a cattle on a thousand hills. And if he was hungry, he wouldn't ask you. He would take his own cow. Right, you didn't have to ask you. So all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. So how do we get out of false doctrine? It's right here, people. It's the Word of God. But you better make sure you have the right word. There are a lot of things out there that call themselves Bibles that are not Bibles. There are a lot of things that have taken this holy Word of God and perverted it, polluted it, softened it up. We just heard in Sunday school this morning that the ecumenical movement, they went up to, again, it always sounds like a bad joke when you start this, but there is a rabbi, there is a Catholic priest, there was some evangelical leaders, and they went up to a mountain that they consider as Sinai, which we obviously know Sinai is not in Egypt. Geographical fact. Anyhow, we can get into that. But they went up there and they brought a new set of Ten Commandments. And they brought it up on stone tablets up to, and they confessed their commandments, which are different than the true commandments of God. Way different. And they went to the top of the mountain and broke their tablets of stone, mocking what Moses did when he got the tablets of stone from God and came to the base of Mount Sinai, humbled himself, seeing the wickedness of the heart of men, and broke the commandments because their wickedness. These people went up to the top of the mountain, making laws of their own, false doctrine. This didn't happen overnight. This false doctrine didn't happen. You know how the false doctrine started? They heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, the teachers didn't have itching ears. The people who heaped to themselves teachers, they had itching ears. Because they wanted not the sound doctrine of God's word. They didn't want the doctrine of the apostles. They didn't want the prophets. They didn't want the word of God. They wanted something that made them feel good. Well, I sure need a gospel that makes me feel good. I don't need a gospel that makes me feel good. I need one that tells me the truth, that holds no backside. It's the truth. And if you don't like it, too bad. It's the truth. Your not believing the truth doesn't change the truth. Again, red is red, green is green. Right? It's truth or it's a lie. So if you're believing a lie about the kingdom, that it's just this high in the sky, far, far away, Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz kind of idea, you're riding your bicycle with your little dog Toto too. Someday you're going to wind up in Oz? No. No. That's if you're believing that or have any idea that's you've been taught a lie. And the only way to fix that is through the Scripture, because the Scripture's inspired by God, it is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. So when we go to the lost sheep of God in America, the Church of America, we need to have doctrine, the Word of God, because it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. So if you don't have the right Word of God in you, you cannot proclaim the proper ideals of God, especially in amongst the folks who call themselves brethren. All right? Did you understand what I said? The people that call themselves brethren, but they've listened to a different gospel. They've listened to a different Jesus. They're reading a different scripture. They're changing the meaning of God into something more comfortable, because God's word says there's one man and one woman. And if you're born one of those, that's what you are, no matter how you feel. Said marriage is between one man and one woman, a natural born man and a natural born woman. Why? That we could raise up godly seed. Two dudes married are not making godly seed. Two chicks married are not making godly seed. I'm not saying that they're not good people. Good people. Amen. Hell is filled with good people because they didn't listen to God's word. Or somebody didn't have the intestinal fortitude to come to them and say, "Thus saith the Lord God," out of love and compassion, not out of haughtiness and self-righteousness. So when we use the Word of God, remember, it's the sword of the Spirit, not the battle axe of the individual. So when we meet them, we've got to have the understanding of the proper doctrines in order to reprove them, in order to express correction to them, and you can't do it in a better, holier-than-thou attitude toward them. Right? Unfortunately, the church way too often goes, I'm holier than you. I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. Yay for me, bad for you. When we talk to somebody about hell, you ought to be brokenhearted for that individual. You ought to be. And if you're not, there's another word that isn't used in America anymore, shame on you. So when we try to explain, well, first, as we learn what the kingdom is, when we go to the lost sheep of Israel, the lost sheep of God, and we go and we start explaining to them what the kingdom is, we got to have a right heart set. We got, first, we need proper doctrine. That means you need to have the right Word of God. Then you use that for reproof, which just means straightening out, for fixing, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man, and I put Hugh in front of that because there's some folks who will say, that's only for males. No, the human race, right? For the human race,
mankind,
right, thank you, that mankind, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Who here was taught that you can't be perfect? Amen? Wrong. You can be. You know how I know you can be? We just read it out of Scripture. The Bible said you could be perfect. It didn't say you could be sinless, but definitely you can sin less. If you use the Word of God, the Scripture of God, for reproof, for instruction, okay, we'll start there. If we use the Word of God for instruction, not for other people, but for me. If I use the Word of God for proper doctrine, not for other people, but for me, removing the plank out of your own face. If I use the Word of God for reproof, not so much for other people, but for me. If I use the Word of God for correction, not for other people, but for me. And I get that squared away in my heart and my life, understanding the Word of God, the kingdom of God, the holiness of God, for the perfecting of the saint, which is me, which is you. If you've trusted Jesus Christ and you're willing to be taught by the Holy Spirit of God through the written Word of God, you do those things and it will change you. And then God will use you mightily. But get your get your car on the right road first. We need to understand what the kingdom is. We'll get to that over the next several years. Because I'm looking at it and I listen to what I said. It's already 20 after 12. And, well, I haven't even scratched the surface. You know, but there was a time in America that the church had a good understanding of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, which, by the way, which we already said is all the same kingdom, but cool, I wrote it down here in notes, yay, which is all, so ask yourself, again, can you explain the kingdom of God to the lost sheep of God? Understanding the task is extremely difficult, and remembering that the lost sheep have been deeply taught this deception through doctrinal delusions. All right. All that's my words. I spelt them all wrong. That's why I had to read them slow. That the church has an extreme difficult time remembering that this church has been taught the deception through doctrinal delusions. The Church of America, folks, the vast majority, I will not say all, but the vast majority of the teachers that are behind the pulpit are not teaching the Word of God. They're finding some other book. They're finding some other thing, and they're just simply regurgitating something that was regurgitated out. So they're eating somebody else's talking, instead of going back to the Word of God to understand what the kingdom of God is really about. They're listening to Dr. Seuss. I like to use him a lot. Not that he was a great theologian, but he did have a cat in a hat. Right? Those folks, and the reason I used him as a hypothetical or a person, not that I don't want to call people's names out, but by the grace of God, it's blank. I can't call their name.
I can.
I know you can. Make a list. I'll check it twice. And so, and it's not that I wouldn't call their name, but y'all know I call my wife the wrong name. Right? Joshua, I've known him for 11 years. I could not call his name. So it's not anything personal. It's just that it's a blank space in between my ears, which there seems to be vast and numerous, innumerable, a lot of them. So anyhow, this ignorance, this doctrinal delusion that the church has been taught has degraded the fabric of the understanding of God and the kingdom of God. That misunderstanding, because once you, I think it's crocheting, right? When you get one of the crocheting things and you pull it, the whole, it just starts to unravel, right? And they have been taught something that is not doctrinally sound for a long time, and they made a fabric out of it that they wear with pride, with arrogance, with puffed upness. They call it doctrines in theology. I went to such and such college, and look at my diploma. I have a diploma on my wall. And there's nothing wrong with higher education. There really isn't. Praise God. Those who do it, you know where all the silent letters are, right? You know how to make a proper sentence. Ooh. You know, like my grandson taught me, climb actually has a B in it. Climba. That's like rumba. Anyhow, without chasing that rabbit too far, we had a spelling game that we were playing, and he wrote climb with a B, and I wrote climb without one. He said, climb's supposed to have a B. And I said, sound it out.
He did.
And he did. And so you climb something. Anyhow, sorry about that. So how do you teach an unlearned Christian proper doctrine when they don't even have the proper Bible that they're reading from? So how does that start? You'll have to return next week. No, actually, it's I'll give you some scripture. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 44. 1 Timothy 4, 1. 2 Timothy 2, 5 through 17. Luke 17, 20. And Romans, we have a lot from Romans. And anyhow, we'll get in. Well, anyhow, I'm going to skip to the end real quick right here because I think this will help us. All right, so Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in Luke 17 and 20. And when he was, Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." All right, then Jesus goes on and starts talking about the last day. All right, now, praise God for that. Because Paul backs that up in Romans where he says, "The kingdom of God is not of meat or drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." So what is the kingdom of God? The essence of the kingdom of God? The essence of the kingdom of God is not in the physical, the meat or the drink. It's not in the here or the there, but it's in righteousness. How do you get righteousness? Amen. You say it louder. Through Jesus. You get righteousness through Jesus. How do you get peace and joy? Through Jesus. Those are some of the fruit of the Spirit of God as the individual walks with God. These things start coming out of them. All right? And it is in joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the essence of the kingdom of God that we're going to be busting into over the next longest period of time. To have the kingdom of God is righteousness, holiness, joy, and the peace of the Holy Ghost. I think we can unravel that and apply it in such a way that we can even meet those who have been taught incorrect doctrine and fix them with righteousness, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost. I believe we can do that. And I think that that's what Jesus was telling his disciples, to go out not to the world, but to the lost sheep of Israel first. Go ahead, Lance.
A lot of people can't explain why the world is so messed up. They've been shown in Romans that they're originally under bondage.
Yeah. And instead of worrying about why the world's so messed up, if we will get back to the Word of God, which is profitable for doctrine, amen, reproof, correction. We get back to the Word of God and start adjusting our lives to what God's Word says. We can fix a lot of stuff, amen, in the church, not in the world, but in the church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask a blessing on the rest of our day. Father, we are grateful, Lord, for your love, your grace, your goodness. We're grateful for the way that you have moved over us. And Father, over the next ever how long it's going to be, as we unveil the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven, the holiness of God coming down, help us to see the reality of the physical kingdom that lives in the spiritual domain of the right, holy God, the God of the Bible, the God of Scripture. Lord, I thank you. I praise you for that. And we ask a blessing on this teaching and the ones up and coming. In Jesus' name, amen.